listening to BuddhistGeeks.com.
August 27th, 2007. Episode 34, An Antidote to Seriousness. In this episode, Robert Spellman delves into the liberating nature of humor and laughter. He also touches on the question of whether a genuine spiritual practice leads to a diminishing of one's personality. This is part two of a three-part series. This episode of Buddhist Geeks is sponsored by the Do No Harm Movement. To find out more about the Do No Harm Movement and to receive a free Do No Harm bumper sticker and wristband, please visit www.donoharm.us.
Humor and how it relates to the path, or how it relates to what you're calling being awake, because presumably the path and being awake, some sort of connection there.
I hope so.
Yes. So I was wondering, maybe from both angles, what role do you see it taking while someone's on the path? And what role do you see it taking when someone's really awake? Like they're a living, breathing example of an awake person. Mm-hmm. Like I often get the sense from practitioners that humor is antithetical to the spiritual path. And somehow it's about getting away from your personality and all the bad things. And like you were saying, this community that you feel attracted to is not that way at all. There's something real human about it. So I suspect your answer is going to have something to do with that. But still, I'd like to pose that question to you. Mm-hmm.
Well, there are a couple of things in there that I think humor is obviously a way of penetrating something. Mm. That what causes us to laugh is, I think in the end, kind of mysterious. We don't really know. You know, there's no scientific explanation for why laughter occurs. Mm. But if you notice what happens, you know, to your mind when you're laughing, that would be one thing to contemplate. Mm. That when something really cracks you up and you really crack up, you know, that there's a combination of you could say it's like not being fixated, you know, because you can't really say what it is that's going on. You know, you're just making this sound and, you know, your sides hurt, or especially when you have a, you know, a really good guffaw. There's something about it's like being out of control in a positive sense, that you're not trying to control everything. You're just sitting there holding your sides and shaking, which that state of mind and body is worth pursuing.
Mm.
You know, not in a way of trying to appropriate it, because you can't. You know, there's nothing worse than fake laughing. You know, it's just there's something, but everyone knows what laughter is,
mm-hmm.
because it sneaks up on us all the time. I think it's also a very important quality as an antidote to taking ourselves too seriously. And that's one of the large dangers of any spiritual path, is that we suddenly start taking things very seriously, and in a negative way or a confused way, things suddenly become really heavy and serious. And sorry, there's no room for jokes or humor here.
Right, right. And that's maybe it's just the circles I've hung around in, but that's something I've kind of noticed creeping in, not only to people I've seen, but in myself. Mm-hmm. So it's something that seems to go along with serious practice,
right?
Quote unquote.
Right. Well, one of the things that really attracted me to meditation practice was the effect that it had on my own sense of humor, and I noticed that I was not alone here. Is that if you really practice meditation intensively for morning till night, in an intensive retreat, say, it is inevitable that things start getting very funny. And I don't know what, I've never been able to explain this or understand exactly why, but it was one of the things that made me trust this path, was that if the outcome of it is this extremely high quality laughter that can come seemingly out of nowhere, then I'm in. You know, I mean, the difference between that and if you look at religious fundamentalism, for example, you know, of any stripe. It doesn't matter who's got it, and it's everywhere.
Sure.
One of the most noticeable qualities is an absolute absence of humor. Mm. There's no humor there. You know, there's nothing. There's no humor.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, all of the, and it actually leads, as we see on a daily basis, to astonishing acts of cruelty and violence. Mm. There's some utter absence of humor.
Mm. Yeah, while you were talking, I was just kind of connecting some ideas about humor and realized when I've been laughing like that, I'm really in a state of taking things pretty lightly. Mm-hmm. Like there's something, a lightness about things, or what you're describing, an intense practice. It's like things, they're kind of dreamlike, so to speak. They're kind of light or not as so real, and that there's something kind of humorous or funny about that. That's yeah. Makes perfect sense from that angle, why it would be important.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
And what about this idea that as one becomes more awake, somehow one's personality kind of diminishes in a roughly equivalent fashion, sort of like a direct correlation there. Awakeness equals like zero personality. I mean, that's obviously an extreme view, but mm-hmm. some people seem to have at least tinges of that view.
Yeah, well, I think the couple of things about that. One is that to distinguish between personality and facade, you know, that in, I think people conflate the two. So that you know that people assume that this character that they present to the world is their actual being, when in fact it's often just a set of sort of licks, you know, like a musician will collect a set of licks. You know, our personalities become a set of habits or assumptions about ourselves that are often not that well thought out or well examined.
Mm.
I think it's important to distinguish between, you know, the facade that we present to the world, an unexamined facade, to distinguish between that and something more fundamental to our being,
mm-hmm.
which if you use the word personality, I think that you can't not have a personality,
mm-hmm.
you know. So if you examine your existence and your mind and your habits, you will discover your personality in the true sense of discovering. You will uncover your personality. And I think what you're describing of, you know, observing people going from sort of colorful, bright, wonderful, vibrant people to sort of gray, transparent, non-entities. I don't know. I would have to say that the people that I've seen, especially the really, really experienced older teachers, you know, right out of the traditions of Tibet or Thailand or Burma or anything, mm-hmm. I'm always surprised by how much personality they have.
Mm.
I mean, it's sort of, I don't know, the terms that we're using are kind of strange, that it's...
Clearly, yeah.
But I think it's maybe distinguishing between facade and personality. And I think the discomfort that a lot of practitioners have, especially in the first, you know, several years of practice, is realizing that you're going to have to jettison some of your some of your little tricks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to have to let them go.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about that that's very discomforting.
Mm.
You know,
so it's more of the facade that kind of has to start being let go of, not so much the core ways that you interact with the world or like understand yourself.
Yeah, you could say that, because you can't discard the core.
Right.
You can't, it can't be done, but you can discard or discard the facade, as they'd say in Boston.
Right. And well, here's another question is, That core personality, is that ultimately who we are? Or is there something, I mean, is there something deeper than the core?
Yeah, I don't know. The term core personality is sort of, we could go in a lot of different directions with that. It's probably not that useful as a term,
yeah.
You know, a core personality. You know, sometimes the word authentic being is used.
Uh-huh.
You know, but that's also can be an overused term. but it's operating in the world without without faking anything, you know, which is it's very difficult to do. It's very difficult to just be true.
This has been a presentation of BuddhistGeeks.com, copyright 2007. Music in this podcast provided by C for Chaos. For more great music and writing, visit his blog at www.cforchaos.com.